months to myself now. The point I was trying to make was, is that the point that I should have made was, is that I'll mute everybody, that'll be the fun. I'll do the mute. Okay, Becerra. The point I'm trying to make is that after the event, it's an imam in Ben Bino Shalema. This is from Hashem. And we have to relate to it the way it is, not the way we want it to be, or that they were wrong or right. Every situation that the Ben Taylor encounters, that's how it's deal with it. Then there's room for Ishtadus, for changing it, for talking about it. You can go lobby the Prime Minister, you can do what you want. I'm not saying not, but the Ben Taylor, when he looks at an issue like this, he has to work with the reality the way it is. That's just what I wanted to say as an end to yesterday's share. And we can discuss the pros and cons of all of this later. But the bottom line is the way we see the world, the way we see what's happening is Hashem Yashem. That's the challenge we have with the Holocaust. If the Holocaust was just some crazy Meshuggah who got a chip in his pocket to kill 6 million Jews, Rahman al-Islam, so then fine, we can deal with that. That's just, you know, that's evil and it's not good and it is good, or did he do the right thing, the wrong thing, and have a whole debate. The problem comes in when this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Hashem designed that holy event. So that's when the challenge and the struggle and the battle of Imunah kicks in. And that's the battle and the struggle we're having right now. It's a struggle of Imunah rather than is it right or wrong. I heard somebody, I don't want to mention names here, one of the big speakers, one of the big speakers, well-known, famous speakers, who I enjoyed listening to, gave a whole talk on backing what you were saying. And his whole talk was about that. And I was waiting for him to say, okay, so now we have this and they made a mistake and everything. And now, but now what does Hashem want from us? And he didn't, just ended there. So like, I got very disappointed, very upset and disappointed. And I have to be a big boy and go listen to him again, because you can't just write off somebody because of that. No, but that's the thought. Whichever angle you take here, whether they should have, they shouldn't have, however you want to deal with this, and I'm not going into that, I'm not an expert. But when it's all said and done, we ma'aminim b'nai ma'aminim, and we have to know, so call me Hashem. That's the vote. Okay. Fine. Back to our subject. This is all our subject. Back to our subject, and that is that we're on Daf Samach Zayin. We were grappling the last time we met with the luchos. We said the luchos, which have on each side and they join together. We said that's the challenges for us to see in the same light. We don't treat them differently, and we don't separate them. We said that the Banom L'Chaveiro is Banom L'Chaveiro, and we're going to take that further now. Why are we even doing that? Oh, we were doing that because we discussed the last time the story with the cigarette. About the relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Beinom L'Chaveiro more than as Beinom L'Makom, and therefore we stepped into this world, and let's see where he takes us. So I'm right in the middle of Daf Samach Zayin. Ha'adam mitivoy mityaches bekovod bekedusha b'reimus l'inyon ha'shamayim. A person naturally relates to religious... What's this here? One sec. Thank you very much, whoever that was. Recording, okay. Let me get recording back up. Okay, fine. So we're on Daf Samach Zayin in the middle of the page. Adam Mitivo Mityaches, the covered the Kadusha Baremus in Yonah Shemayim, the Ilu Klapahan, Yonim Shabanam the Chavere, who Mavgin Rigishot Lichpatiot and Enoshit. We have a natural tendency to relate to what's called the Banam Lamakoms, the areas of what's called religion, Raymond, was we deal with those with a different dynamic than we deal with our relationships with people. In other words, with people we have much more emotional, we have much more empathetic aspects, we relate more to the Banom L'Makoms with more covered, with Raymond was with more religious, let's use that word for lack of a better word, it's not the right word, but for lack of a better word, with more a sort of religious aspect of dealing with Shemayim than we do when we're dealing with Adam. Ulam, Torah said in Kedoshim, made us a panel of Shishnei Aluchos Yenkim Heim Yisod Echad. But the Torah teaches us that the two Luchos, Banom L'Makom, Banom L'Chaveiro, they're drawing from the same source. But after the Rechel Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rechel Hu Gam Chaverecho. We said many times, after Rechel Kamoicho includes the entire Torah, it's called Gadol B'Torah. Why? Because it includes everything. Re'echo is Hashem, that's Ben Olam Malkum. Re'echo is your friend, that's Ben Olam L'chaver, and Tumaycha is you, Ben Olam L'atzma. ומכאן כשם שהרתיה מלוס יצח תבוא בנפשנו, we have a natural sense, a feeling of לוס יצח. Everybody knows שרציחו הוא מייס הנוירה. Everybody knows naturally, instinctively, that murder is a terrible thing. אם חליד יהודי יארג ישראל בשויגה, what would a person kills another person? בשויגה, מאם is not his fault completely, even onus, forget about shege, onus legamre. It kofu eise rigeshut Hashem anoyim v'chai v'rosu tachas neti yisura mitzvayna. It could destroy a person's life. Even if he killed somebody by onus, the feelings of shame, of guilt, of having taken a life, will be noyre v'yoy. Ramon shu hu lo aya Hashem, even though it wasn't his fault, hu lo yoychel yisloch atmoy, could he forgive himself. Numa zoiz kashadam choyte binyonim shevenon lomokom. If a person doesn't avail it, benon lamokim to win chilu Shabbos b'shege. It's a machal Shabbos b'shege. In my aim is leich atzmo. He forgives himself very quickly. Ki b'sach hakol adov aya b'shege v'leday tatua she'ashem yisparach yireh v'yislah. His mistaken perspective is, no, it wasn't so bad. It was b'shege. No, I didn't feel wrong. Sarah, and Hashem will forgive me. Hakol yeh b'sach. Ach lo kein tzrich ilo is his yaschus. That's not the way we're supposed to look at this. Bichlau. The same tiedus nefesh, the same worry, anguish maybe is a good word, that a murderer has, over a love shebenon lechaveri, was over a love benon lechaveri lo siyatsa. Tzrichel a love says over a love shebenon lemakom. It's the same feeling of being over a benon lemakom. Oyser regeshut v'ichpatiot she'adam megalat yeshlichshol ubizes chaveri berabim. The same feeling of guilt and of empathy and of loneliness when a person embarrasses his friend in public. You need that feeling and even more than that. A person should feel when he's over by non-lamakum. Not because he did an aveira and now he's going to get punished. No, not because of that. But he was mamash. He's involved in a benon lechaveira yet. Who's the chaveira? Is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He was pogged, so to speak, by Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Kodesh Baruch Hu kviyochel nala v'pogam nifkam imenu. Hashem is so to speak nifkam imenu. Od pam, these are words. What the words mean, this is a lot of work, but that's what he's saying here. Zuhu habechina shedovid ha-melech alav v'sholem megia leya. This is the aspect that David ha-melech arrived at. If he should kosu v'tehilim. In Perek Nun Aleph, David HaMelech says, Ki poshu ani eda, my sins I acknowledge, I admit them. Uvechatosi negdi tomit, and my sins, you see there's a difference between pesha and chato. Uvechatosi negdi somit, and my sins are in front of me all the time. Must be Rashi HaKodosh. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Uvechatosi negdi tomit. Mitoyek shani mitcharet v'doyeg alav. Because I regret them and I'm worrying about them all the time. It's like they're in front of me all the time because I'm so anguished by them. Like, I'm adding this, like somebody who would have killed somebody, God forbid, b'shoge. He wouldn't just, I made a mistake, I'm very sorry. He would phone up the family and apologize. And now he gets back to business because, well, it was wasn't my fault. So what? So, and malaso. No, that's not how a person relates. So that's how David HaMelech is relating to his chatoim. The same as somebody who's continually worried and dying by them, in the Ben Adam Lechaveiros, so too, David's been already in the Ben Adam Lamakom. Now, you have to be very careful here practically. We live in a generation where even just dealing with regret, charata, is a very dangerous thing to do. David HaMelech was a very healthy, well-balanced person who, even though he was walking around with charata v'daigas over his chatoim, which are b'shoige, chatoim are mistakes. Sins that are mistakes, chatosi negdi tomid, he was able to do that. He was still a big bal simcha. His simcha levels never got affected. We practically today can't do that. We have to be very, very careful when we get into these areas and try and do this practically. If you're going to be walking around like this, you're going to be a wreck. You know, that's not healthy Torah. You can do this only to the degree that you can maintain your simcha level, be healthy and normal, and well balanced, and at the same time, practically, I do this is a big discussion. I'm not going to go into it now, but before you start walking around like this, you should check it out and speak to somebody, because it's not highly advisable, even when we do tshuva. And one of the four requirements of tshuva is charata. Rav Hutna Zatzal already warned us that we have to be very careful. Rav Hutna held that charata wasn't shaykh in this generation. Bichlal, he held it wasn't something we could do. I'm not going to write it out of the book yet, but we have to know what charata is demanded of us and what aid is demanded of us. Also, if a person has done a chet and it is worrying him, so do tshuva and carry on. If he's still worrying after the tshuva, then he doesn't believe in tshuva, and that's a very dangerous thing not to believe in. So, the point here is, at a practical level, is we have to ask ourselves, at least ask the question, have the courage to face the question, why is it that, if God forbid, I would even just, and never mind killing a person, God forbid, but if I would knock over my next door neighbor's dog by accident, I would feel terrible. And yet, when it comes to Benam the Markums, I tend to treat them a lot more lightly. There's another aspect here which hasn't mentioned, but I want to mention. I'm sure you guys have asked yourself this question already, those of you that are out there and still awake. I'm sure it's bothering you. We often find that people tend to tread on Benam the Chaveru is much easier than they do on Benam the Markum. Yet people that are very, very firm when it comes to doing the Benam the Markums, and yet when it comes to the Benam the Chaveru, they have no problem trampling over people. So that's also a question that has to be discussed in the context of this. And that needs to be flagged for further attention, is why we tend to be much more frum when it comes to our mitzvahs than it does when it comes to our Ben Rama Mokum mitzvahs, and when it comes to Ben Rama Chavera mitzvahs. That's a question that needs to be asked here. Okay, weiter. Before Abraham Bala Reshis Chochma, the Sha'ava, Ha'ava Per Gravi. Well, Zeit Zavisa Torah, Reshis Chochma says, on this the Torah commands us, V'amru V'after Recha Kamoicho. In the Midrash and in the Zohar, Shereicha Ruach Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shereema Reicha V'rei Avicha Al Tazoy. Quotes a pasuk from Mishlei. Your friend and the friend of your fathers, don't turn away from. That's talking about a Kodesh Baruch. So therefore, after Recha Kamoicha, that's Hashem is included in the midst of after Recha Kamoicha, meaning that which you don't want somebody to do to you, that which you don't like people doing to you, don't do to anybody else. That applies to Hashem as well. That means you don't like people not listening to you. People say, yeah, I'll do this, and then they don't do it, you get upset. So when you say you'll do something, which you did, you said, Nasev and Nishma. When you don't do it, so then that's something you're being over the after Recha Kamoicha. Hashem, with his enormous love for us, calls us Reim. Shenema, Leman Achi Veroi, for my brother and my beloved friend, Kiyotzi Sham, Livnei Yisrael, I'm craving. Hashem says, I'm Yisrael, my craving, my mamash, like my relative, people that are very close to me, dear to me. V'chei nama v'avter v'chel k'moicho l'orecha shu ha-kodesh baruch hu k'moicho. V'av v'shata reitzi la'atzmocho, the love you want, the yachas you want to yourself, k'mo shim yesh lecha cheva ta chafetz she'yavcho. If you have a friend, you want him to love you. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Re'echa Reitze Shet Avonoi. Hashem wants us to love him. He's our friend, and he wants us to love him the same as you want your friend to love you. So that's the Reshis Chochma. Anybody wants to argue with me, you can, I don't mind. You want to argue with Rav Taube as well. But the Reshis Chochma is a little bit harder to argue. You'll have to argue with him, but you have to be up there with him. Reimdan Amekan Shal Adam Lechaven. It's called Maisav L'Shleimus. Person has to aim, Kivun, Kavona. The word Kavona means to aim. It doesn't mean to concentrate. In order to have Kavona, you need to concentrate. But Kavona means to aim, to direct your thoughts, to be in control of your thoughts and direct it. Like a horse rider, he sits on top of the horse. He doesn't move the horse. The horse moves. He just directs it and aims it to where he wants it to go. So a person has to aim all his deeds to Shleimus. Valav L'Shtadel, Shema Mitzvah, Shevel Vokam, Vena Mitzvah, Shemon L'Chaveira, the Torah is all one thing. And therefore, when you're dealing with Benon Lechaveira, Benon Malkum, one has to have the same yachas, the same relationship, and the same seriousness that you take, and exactitude that you take with one, you have to take with the other. So if you're more naturally inclined to the Ben Lechaveres, and it upsets you when you see people being trampling on Ben Lechaveres, but the Ben Lechaveres don't bother you so much, so then you know what to do. You start relating the Ben Lechaveres like you do the Ben Lechaveres, and the other way around, then use the other one. If you're much more into the Ben Lechaveres, and you tend to be a little bit lax when it comes to Ben Lechaveres, so then you learn from the one and you impose it on the other one. Okay, fine. That's the Perek of Bonim. Bonim Atem L'Shem Elokecho, Bni B'Chayr Yisrael. The choice we have is not whether to be a son or not. As we said, son is a son. Whatever happens, the question is what kind of a son am I going to be? That's where my Bechira is. Am I going to be the loyal, beloved son who's going to work with the father to bring the family business to its final, the ultimate fruition? Or am I going to be the rebellious son who works against the father? That's the choice we have. But a son you are, and that you can't change. And not just any son, as we mentioned, Bnei Bechor Yisrael, you're an only child. Everybody here is an only child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And without us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without me, so then the purpose of the Bria is never going to be fulfilled because no one else can do what I can do. So that's Bnei Bechor Yisrael, that's the son. We're moving now into Perek Vav, which is going to deal with the second relationship we mentioned earlier on, and that is the relationship of Riyasi, of a spouse. Any questions at this point before we move forward? No? Okay, fine.
Yes, Rabbi, I do.
Yeah.
Rav? What's Haratamin?
Are
we? What's Haratamin?
Regret.
Thank you.
Regret. That's a translation. What it means is more than that. But the simple translation, charata, is regret.
Okay, thank you.
You got it?
Okay, yes, now. Thanks.
Okay. Fine. The Keshe Ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ben HaKadosh Nikra Reyosi. This relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's called Reyosi, that is a Yesh Rabbanim HaMukim B'Yosef. There's a lot of deep stuff lurking around here. Chazal Amru, Ein Kol HaOlam Kulu Kedai Kiyom Shenitin Bo Shir HaShirim B'Yisrael. The world was never as worthy as it was on the day that Shir HaShirim was given to Klal Yisrael. Tokol HaKsulim Kodesh B'Shir HaShirim Kodesh Kedosh. All the Shirim are Kodesh, but Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kedosh. Kodesh Kedoshim Kulu Sod V'Raz, completely secret and hidden. Tomun V'Tzofon, look how many words we have for secret and hidden. Sod Raz Tomun Tzofon. We see we have a lot of, the Eskimos have lots of words for snow. We have a lot of words for hiding stuff. Kachi Gam Kedushosoy Shel Sefer Shir HaShirim. That's the Kedusha of Shir HaShirim. Unite, the Sefer is there. Nimshal HaKesha Ben Yisrael Avinu Shebeshamayim LeKesha Shal Nisui. In Shir HaShirim, the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael is the marshal of that in Shir HaShirim, which is Kodesh Kedoshim, is the relationship of marriage. Kesha Ben Baal Le'ishto, husband and a wife. In the way of this Sefer, which is to let us know, to notify the world of the enormous love that Klal Yisrael has in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem has for us. As we're going to do all along, we're going to take something that is beyond our reach, beyond our grasp here. Understand Shir HaShirim, number one, is that's a major job. As I mentioned, Rav Taub has a sefer on the whole of Shir HaShirim. Maybe one day we'll get to that. But in the meantime, we're going to try and understand what this means, the relationship of Knesset Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a husband and a wife. And obviously, these are very deep concepts, but we have to learn it, and we'll learn it the best we can according to our ability. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Borev Tev V'Chos, sorry, Kosho Otan Imoi V'Kesh Nisuin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the enormous goodness and chesed that he has with us, bound us to him in what's called a in what's called a marriage. That's what it says. It says a marriage. In order to get a grip of this, we're going to use a marshal. Sorry, is this something? Okay, no, that's fine. Okay, good. Sorry. A marshal to try and just break the ears, to try and just allow. This is impossible to use the words. A Kosh Baruch Hu has a relationship with us that's a marriage. What is that? So in order to break the ear a little bit, in order to just try and make this a little bit more real for us, you're going to bring a marshal. Vitalet's main rule, you have to use your imagination here. We were given imagination, you have to use it. Rav Shapiro from Eish Kodesh, his Erev Shabbos Drosha, he spoke about this concept of Dimyon, of using Dimyon. If you ever saw it, it's a very good shiur, you should try and get hold of it. It's a moedik piece. Anyway, so he spoke about Dimyon. Rav Dessler speaks about Dimyon as well as not one of the most powerful tools that a person has in Avodas Hamusan, in Avodas anything, Avodas HaKodesh. Imagination, Dimyon is the most powerful tool we have. The Sefer Chinuch bases our entire Chinuch on using Dimyon correctly. And now we know that Dimyon is also a very dangerous tool. You can go out of Mamash, out of the world with Dimyon. You can land up in all sorts of places. But the shlita of the seichel over the Dimyon correctly gives a person an enormous power. The Dimyon is very powerful, you know that. But to use Dimyon correctly in the Avodas Hamusa, which is what it's meant to be used for, is a very powerful tool. We kind of run away from Dimyon because we know how dangerous and how bad it can be. But that's not the way to do it. You're supposed to use your Dimyon to achieve very big things, and you can, because Dimyon is very powerful. Seichel is not. The Seichel has no intrinsic energy of its own. If you sit down on a leather lounge, one of these electronic chairs that lift your feet up and whatever, and you just switch off, what runs is the Dimyon, and it runs very powerfully. The Seichel does it. To work the Seichel, you have to do work to bring it into control. But what the Seichel can do is it can aim and direct, like the jockey on a horse, and direct where to take the Dimyon. The Dimyon is enormous power, but it's wild. You have to use the seichel to direct where you want to take your Dimyon, what's your goal, where do you want to go, and then give the Dimyon its rein. And when you do that, you become very, very powerful. I just want to give an example. Rav Dessler used the example of Nitzchi. We talk about this very often. What is eternity? We all know that we're dealing with eternity. We're eternal beings, and we're busy here working in order to acquire eternity. So how big is eternity? So, yeah, it's big. It's very big. It's infinite. Those are words, but how much of it's internalized? So Dessler gives an exercise there. It's in the first chalik, I think, of Strive for Truth, on how to use your Dimyon. He says you take a big pile of sand. You have to sit down for 15, 20 minutes and do this exercise. I'm just going to speak it out. Just actually do it is hard, but to talk about it, it's easy. So you take a big pile of sand. You get a big truck, one of these big trucks, lorries for the British, and you get it to dump a big load of sand on the beach. Yeah. Now a bird comes along and it takes one grain of that pile and it drops it into the sea. Every 1,000 years, that bird comes and it takes a grain of sand and it drops it into the sea. So now 1,000 years is also too hard for us to Madame Yen. So break it down. Imagine one day. The bird comes and he goes. Now one day goes, 2 days go, 3 days go, 4 days go. Imagine it, work it through, 100 years go, 110 years ago, 200, 500, sit there and work through and medamien for yourself 1,000 years. Then the bird comes again, or another bird comes, because that one's probably died by now. Another bird comes along and he takes a grain and sticks it into the sea. Now do that 1,000 years again and again and until you get to 100,000 years. Yeah? And when you get to 50 trillion billion years, you still haven't even started with eternity. When that whole pile of sand's gone, you still haven't started with eternity. So you've made the concept of eternity real, or more real than it was before, because now it's just the word eternity. It's very big, it's infinite. It's kind of like as far as the sun is, or even further, the stars. But the stars aren't even though they're trillions of miles away, some of the stars that we see are 17, 18 trillion kilometers away from us, that's nothing. That's just like, that's mamash like your next door neighbor, your chassid to eternity. So there's lots of different exercises your Matthews are going to send you. You can use other exercises. But to correctly use Dimyon, I'm doing this L'Kovod Rav Shapira, because he said he doesn't understand why people don't talk about Dimyon more. So enormous akkadosh baruch hu, we have to Rav Shapira and Kadosh Kodesh for letting us, well, they don't let us anymore. But hopefully they'll let us again soon to use the unbelievable facility and the chesed and the unbelievable mensch that he is. He said we have to teach Dimyon, so he has an opportunity. I'm teaching about Dimyon, and go listen to his shir, it was very geschmack. Okay, I have a bit of a kesher to the shir, because he refers to a book there that he saw lying around in the shul, and that's what he based his shir on, and it's me that left the book there. So I felt very honored that I was able to, through my forgetfulness, benefit the Rebbe's drosha. So I'm going to take credit for all of that. Okay. Fine. Back into the sefer. So everybody's dimyon is turned on, and we're now going to mitayel atzmeinu adam gadol talmud chochem naaretz shakol meshachrin lepisrei mufusam b'taros gedolosei. Everybody, the god lador, the biggest god lador. Everybody's lining up outside his house. Kulam nishmoim lo veish einu ma'iz lahamarot espiv. No one has the chutzpah to even go against anything he says. He's the god. Vine, gan adam gadol ze, vi gadol kakol shiye, im yitzi evnois bayit, lahakim mishpacha, this gadol, that the entire world is mamash turning to and waiting for, and won't do anything without him, the brochas, the prime minister, the kings, everyone's coming to him. If he wants to build a house and a family, umuchach l'say sisha, he has to marry, he has to find a woman, has to get married. O yifir bayi shiye liyem ye talu v'bisha, the personality of the house, the nature of the house that he's going to build is going to be totally on her. Imi ta'ase esutzoyna muta, v'im lav, hu lo yachol lekapot alay esutzoyna. If she'll do his rotzon, very good, but if not, he can't force it on her. V'tchum ze rak ishtey mesugeles la'azolay. Only a woman can help him in this area, a wife can help him in this area. Amnam, lo achas osu ishe zu liyayis uchusi mene baharba. Quite possible that the woman that he marries will be much less than him in levels. Ach mekomo kom kedeliv not et abayis hu muchrak l'say sisha. The woman he marries is not going to be the god lador, talmud chochem, bokin kulut, terukulut, all words lining up. That's not what he's going to marry. But if he wants to build a house, he wants to get married, he's going to marry a woman. V'kvar b'yom chazal, nachiz da'ad el nasiv itato. When Yevamos tells us, go down a step, go down a level, and get married. Okay, the whole sugya, that's a fascinating sugya. The pre-shidduch courses, this is a big part of that shidduch course. Nochus dage v'sais ishtecho kas keviyoch, kach keviyoch al noga kodesh boruch. That's how kodesh boruch conducts himself. So again, and we'll stop with this, just that we can meditate on this until tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday, no, quarter to 10 tomorrow, as ragil. No matter how great a person is, if he wants to build a house from the kind of mitzvahs of building a house and raise a family, he has to get married to somebody. It's quite possible. I'm not saying it has to be that way. He might marry somebody who's on a higher level than him. I'm not saying not, but it's quite possible that he'll marry somebody who's not on his darga. Mm-hmm. He'll have to go down a darga in order to get married. So a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who no one's on his darga. A Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, and we have to see what this means, so to speak, stepped down a level in order to take Klal Yisrael and as a wife. Kach muva b'chazal, amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachman, b'shah shebo kodesh baruch hu soilam, nisai v'shitiye lo dir b'tachtoinim. The Tanchuma says when a kodesh baruch hu created the world, nisavi, at a taiva, whatever that means, to have a dwelling place in the lower world. Okay, we'll end with that, and Meretz Hashem, tomorrow we'll take that further. We're around for questions for a few minutes if anybody wants. Otherwise,
yeah, Rob, I have a question.
Thank you.
I have a question.
There's a question. Hello? Yes.
Yeah. So you were talking about Dimyon, but how do you manage to make Dimyon a good thing when sometimes daydreaming, for example, that is also Dimyon, is very harmful, because daydreaming can take you totally to a different reality, and sometimes daydreaming is better than reality. So how do you make, understand what I'm saying, or it has nothing to do with it?
That's exactly what you're saying. I answered that already. The seichel has to drive the demyon. The same as you have a big horse. Let's say you have a big horse. A big horse it can be very good, it can be very dangerous. You put a little rider on top of it, the rider tells the horse where to go. So then the horse is doing the right thing. If the rider doesn't control the horse is controlling the rider, then you're out. That's a chuvah. That's what I said. That's a dangerous tool, Dimyon, because it can take you to the worst places. If that's really correctly used, there's no more powerful tool. There's nothing more powerful than Dimyon. But the seichel needs to sit on top of Dimyon. So just let the Dimyon run wild, that's the HR. That's the most dangerous thing. It's the same as the goof. It's the same as the seichel over the goof. Without the goof, you can't do anything. You can be the biggest neshama in the world, but without a goof, you can't do any mitzvahs, you can't do anything. So you have a goof. Who decides where to go, the goof or the seichel? The seichel tells the goof what to do. If you just let the goof run wild, the goof will curl up in a corner and you go to sleep, hopefully. That'll be the best thing you could do. That's what the goof wants. It just wants to go to sleep. And when it's awake, it just wants covered in taiva. So you want the seichel, I'm using these terms loosely now, using the seichel, dimyon means imagination. If you're going to take the seichel away from the goof will run wild. So you have to impose the seichel on the goof, and then the seichel drives the goof, and the goof's a wonderful thing. Now you can start functioning. Without that, you can't function. Same as the dimyon. It's dangerous because it has this dual dynamic. But with the correct driving, the correct aiming, kivun, so then there's nothing more powerful.
Understand. I hope
it's clear.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, great. Thank you. Have a good day.
Somebody sent you, thanks Rocky, there's a link here, somebody sent to the Rebbe's Drosh on Dimyon, if people want to go listen to that. He was speaking about one specific type of Dimyon anyway, but it was a very worthwhile talk. Besada, have a good day, see you all tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Take good care. Eli, how are you doing?
Baruch Hashem, how's Rabbi? I saw
Eli Itzkovit pop up on the screen there.
I've been here the whole time, but not in the flesh.
No, I know you, yeah, but I just, now your face popped up on the screen. I don't have a big screen in front of me where I had anybody in front of me. At best, I had like three or four people on the screen at a time, and if I had to stop clicking through, you know, I lose concentration. So I miss your smile. When I'm making jokes, I have to imagine, use my dimming that you're sitting there laughing, because you're the only one that appreciates my humor. So,
this is a very serious subject.
I know, but it's also got its light side of it, too.